Bernie Diamond with a different perspective. Now, yesterday on the program, we were chatting about the importance of the images in life that we chase after in determining whether you and I have a healthy self-image or a distorted self-image. The majority of people on this planet have a distorted self-image, truly. The arguments, the conflict, the fear, the misguided lives that are being led, much if not all of that finds its genesis in a complete misunderstanding of who we are, whose image we're made in, and what our destiny is. Images, as we saw, are influences, a brand, an ideal, a lifestyle, whatever it is, all come with seductive imagery, and before long, we find ourselves chasing after these elusive images through which we're seeking to define ourselves. We end up with a distorted self-image. I was listening to a man, rather a wealthy man, a God-fearing man, speaking about himself recently, and he said a few years back now, he realized that even though he believed in Jesus, he was really defining himself through his wealth, through his big house, through his flash car. So he decided to sell his company and make a full-time job of using his resources to support and fund God's work around the world. That, as it turned out, was much more satisfying than trying to live a life chasing after false images, which lead only to a distorted image of ourselves. And that's the crux of what we've been chatting about so far in this series of messages that I've called Meet the New Me. That the old me, the me that chases after false images of success, the me that bows down to false idols, can never be satisfied, will always be marred, because that old me was missing the whole point of life. For one, made as we are, in the image of God. The only place of satisfaction, in fact, is when we connect back into the one whose image we bear. The Apostle Paul, having been run out of a few towns for telling people about Jesus back in the first century, finds himself in Athens, a place full of false images, false idols that people were worshipping. And rather than being repulsed by it all, his heart aches for these people. Acts chapter 17, verse 16, while Paul was waiting for his friends in Athens, he was deeply distressed to see that the city was full of idols. And so he goes and tells people about Jesus. He argues with them, both on an intellectual and philosophical plane, and then more deeply in the heart knowledge of who they are and what God has planned for them. As he wandered through the streets of Athens, he's come across an idol, one image that's labelled to the unknown God. And it's about this unknown God that he now tells the Athenians. Have a listen, Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse 22. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, to an unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I now proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he's not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of our own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. So what's Paul saying here? Well, look, he's reaching into their culture of idol worship, this worship that reflects a searching for something or someone to worship, a built-in impulse that we all have. And Paul says, look, I realize you're looking for God. I know that. But here's the mistake you're making. The real God created everything, the whole shooting match. And so he doesn't live in a little shrine as though he's been made by us out of gold or silver or stone. He's not a man-made image. In fact, it's the other way around, folks. We are made in his image. We are his offspring. We're descended from him. Verse 29, since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and the imagination of mortals. And here's the reason that he made things that way, a very specific reason. In verse 26 and 27, from one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. So here it is. The Athenians had a distorted image of themselves and of the world because they had this idea of worship completely 180 degrees round the wrong way. They thought that they made things that they had to worship, where in fact it was the other way around. It's not something that we make with our own hands that we worship. It's God who made us that we should be worshiping. You know what? We are still making this same mistake today, aren't we? But Paul says, you know, deep down inside, we're all searching for this unknown God. And he's the God in whose image we're made. He made us with the purpose of finding him and connecting with him and knowing him forever. Friend, it's time to come and discover this God, the one true God, the one God who can and does deliver on the promise of a resurrection from the dead, an eternal life that starts the moment we put our faith in Jesus, his son. Here's the staggering thing. People were getting this wrong 1,500 years before in Moses' day when they made and worshipped that golden calf. They thought that you worshipped images that you made with your own hands. They kept getting it wrong right through the history of Israel up until the first century AD. That's a millennium and a half. And here we are another two millennia on. And we still think that we can get satisfaction and find our place in this world by creating images, icons, idols, brands, lifestyles, whatever you want to call them, with our own hands, and then sacrificing our lives to them. And then we wonder why things aren't going so well. Then we think, God, what are you doing? When all along, God's speaking the truth to us. But are we willing to listen? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord is life indeed. Filled with it, one rests secure and suffers no harm. You know what's exciting about all this? The Athenians had things completely wrong, and yet God in his grace sent Paul to tell them the truth. Not all of them listened, but some did. And over the coming week, we're going to be unpacking this very same truth, because God wants each one of us to know who we are made in his image, to realize our sin and what he's done to deal with that. And then to discover the new man or the new woman, the new me, that God will make possible through Jesus, his son. I guess that's why they call it the good news. So I really encourage you, join me again next week on the program as we continue exploring what it means to be made in God's image and to live our lives being transformed back into his image. Thanks so much for joining me for another week of A Different Perspective. Awesome stuff. It's time to stop living our lives in the hall of distorted mirrors, each one reflecting back a distorted image of who we are. It's time to start hearing right answers, the truth of God's word about who we are in him, what he's doing to sort the problems in our lives, and what our destiny in Christ really is. So, look, I've recorded a series of four in-depth half-hour messages called Meet the New Me, because I believe that through his word, he is going to set some people free to live the life he always intended for them. Maybe that's you. You can listen to those messages online right now at ChristianityWorks.com. Just click on the Christianity Works program section straight off the homepage and you'll find them right there. I just passionately believe that God wants to make a difference in your life here and now. Father, I pray that as we've received your truth from your word about who we are, made in your image, made connect back into you, made to worship you and you alone, I pray that you've torn down some of the strongholds in our lives. I pray that you've opened our hearts to the truth and poured it in through your Holy Spirit. I pray that you've set us free to live out our destinies in Christ, to be renewed, restored, morphed back into his image, so that we might be his hands and his feet and his voice in this lost and hurting world of ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm Bernie Diamond. Thanks so much for joining me, and I'll catch you again at the same time on Monday as we continue looking at life from a different perspective.